Hello, brothers and sisters. I hope you all are doing well and staying healthy. May the Lord be our rest and our joy, and may He accomplish all that He desires during this time. Well, I'm thankful to have the opportunity to share with you this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, but I'd like to start my sharing with John chapter 17, verse 3. And that verse says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ." Well, I think it's all of our aspirations as lovers of the Lord, as believers in God, to really know our God. And so I've really considered it a blessing, and I'm so thankful to have had this time to study and go through the book of Deuteronomy. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, who our God is made so clear. And I believe I've come to know Him more personally, and I hope the same is true for all of you. You know, the book of Deuteronomy shows that our God is a God of love, a God of faithfulness, and a God of blessing. Throughout the book, it shows His love and His detailed care for so many groups of people. I've been touched so many times in reading through this book of His care for the widows, for the orphans, for the poor, and for the sojourners, those who don't have a home. But on the other hand, while our God is loving, He is also the God of righteousness. And as the loving God, He's broad. Yet as in another way, since He's the God of righteousness, He is somewhat narrow in certain things and also very strict with His righteousness. And along with His being the God of righteousness, He has a governmental administration in every age. And the arrangement for this governmental administration in the Old Testament was His way of ruling. And His ruling took place through various agents, including the priests and the elders, you know, among the tribes of the children of Israel. It also took place through His speaking, through His written word. You know, the words that Moses spoke, the books of Numbers, and the book of Leviticus, and the book of Exodus. But it also included God's instant speaking through the high priest, which we believe and understand to have taken place by the breastplate with the Urim and Thummim. And that is certainly an important matter to study, but we surely don't have time to cover that this morning. But what I would like to say is, you know, from the books of 1 Corinthians and Hebrews especially, we see that everything that happened to the children of Israel was actually a type concerning the New Testament and the church life. And so just as God had a governmental administration in the Old Testament, He also has a governmental administration and arrangement for His righteousness in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, that is that each one of us personally honors His ruling. And this ruling of God in the New Testament kind of has three aspects as well, similar to the Old Testament with the children of Israel. But in the New Testament, we have the Bible outside of us for God's ruling. We also have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And finally, we have the eldership, the leadership in the churches. And I'd like to say just a little bit of something about each one of these. And the first, of course, is the Bible outside of us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 say, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." So the Bible outside of us, as we read it, as we study it, it gets into us. And as it gets into us, it corrects us, it adjusts us, it convicts us, and even instructs us in the ways of righteousness. Well, I'll share a little testimony about this, or a personal experience about how God's Word, you know, my experience of it bringing God's ruling. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I had a certain way of combing my hair, and one day I went and began to comb my hair and put some product in it. And as I was doing that, a phrase from 1 Timothy 2:10 came to me. And that phrase was professing godly reverence. And it was as if the Lord was telling me, Aaron, the way that you are styling your hair to me does not seem to profess godly reverence. And so I felt that was the Lord speaking. It was quite strong and quite vivid. And so from that day forward, I didn't comb my hair that way anymore. Well, later it was affirmed by some of my companions and some brothers and sisters in the church life that they didn't feel that the way that I combed my hair professed godly reverence either. This seemed to me, this was the Lord's appearing to me and his ruling through the words of the scripture, through the Bible, which we have outside of us. Well, they said the way of God's ruling is also through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So God's leading within us as the Spirit is his ruling. And of course, we know from 1 John chapter 2 that God, as the Spirit, lives within us as the anointing. And sometimes that anointing, when we want to say something, tells us not to say something. And sometimes we don't want to say something, and the anointing pushes us to speak for the Lord. Well, finally, we have the eldership. And, there are a lot of verses that firmly establish the eldership as being an important part and a critical part of the church life in the New Testament. And to me, the verse that is most clear is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And I'll read that to you. It says, obey the ones leading you and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will render an account, that they may do this with joy and not groaning, for this would be unprofitable to you. And we might hear words like obey and submission, submit. And, these words of authority, it's possible it could make us a little bit uncomfortable. But one verse that helps me quite a bit with this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. And there he is talking about authority in the New Testament. And he says that this authority is for building up and not for overthrowing. So when we're right according to the leadership in the church life and the eldership, this is something that is for building us up and not for overthrowing us. It's actually something that's positive. Well, I was raised in the church life. I'm so thankful to my mom and dad who raised me here. But I eventually made my own decision that this is where I wanted to have my life, and I chose to be here. And this year marks the 20th year of my choosing to be in the church life. And by the Lord's mercy, he has preserved me and kept me. And through that time, these 20 years, I've actually met with 5 different local churches, and of course that doesn't count the places I've traveled to or visited for a short time, but places where I lived and had the church life. And so that's 4 churches on the West Coast and 1 here on the East Coast, New York City, where we're meeting this morning. And through this time, I've encountered various challenges and difficulties, and most of the time my experience is if I come to the Lord, to the Word, and in prayer, I can kind of get through the tough times in life. And, often fellowshipping with my peers, my companions, is another way to get through. But there have been particular junctures in which coming to the Word and praying by myself, or even fellowshipping with my peers or my, my companions, just didn't get me through, and I was just stuck. And many of those times I've gone to the elders to fellowship. And can tell you, most of the time when I've gone to the elders, they've just given me a positive word of affirmation. And I can count, on one hand probably, there have been times when there was a frank word of rebuke. But I can testify that every time that I went for fellowship and I received the fellowship and really took it to heart, what blessing has come. Both to me personally in my human life, in my Christian life, and in my church life. And so, you know, we here today in the New Testament, each of us personally honors God's ruling. And this ruling comes through his word, the Bible, which is outside of us. It comes through his spirit who is within us. And it also comes, his ruling, through the eldership in the church life. And there's so much more to say about that, but we like to be brief this morning, so I'll stop there. And I just say that, you know, we have a God who is a God of love, faithfulness, and blessing, yet he is also the God of righteousness and strict and narrow in certain things. But may we love him in all that he is, and may we love him in all of his ways. And I'll end my sharing with a verse, and that's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may serve God well-pleasingly with piety and fear. Amen, brothers and sisters. Grace be with you.
This week's message is on aspect of the church life under the government of God. Aspect of the church life under the government of God. I find this title very enlightening. When we consider the church, we usually associate the church as a place of love or some place to get help or a place maybe doing a lot of work of charity and definitely a place for our worship of God. All these are true. But we need to see that the church, while it's a place of love and care, it's also a place under the government of God. God has a government in the universe, and there's also a government in the church. The church has the house of God, is full of God's administration and God's government. Our God is a God with principles, rules, order, and discipline. Of course, he is a God of love, but he is also a God who is righteous, who is orderly. And in the book of Deuteronomy, as we have seen in recent messages, that among the Israelites, the people of God, there was a situation full of God's government and administration. And a good part of this book deals with the living of God's people. God had took this people out of Egypt, bore them on eagle's wing, and bring them to a place where he has promised them. And God lived in their midst, and he wanted his people to be a people who are holy, clean, and rejoicing people. Therefore, in the book of Deuteronomy, after the rehearsal of the law, Moses spoke a lot concerning the detail ordinances regarding the living of God's people. And in this record, we can see that God did not let anything go by loosely. Even a lot of great or small were under God's governmental administration. Even many minute detail concerning the manner which how they should wash themselves, how they should wash their clothes, the way to shave their beards even, it was not left to the choice of the Israelites. God had very specific instructions that governed their living. Well, this was the Old Testament. Does that mean that the church today in the New Testament, does not care for his government and administration anymore? This cannot be true. In the New Testament, every aspect of God's dealing with the church is under his government and administration. So as we're living in the church life, as we're enjoying God under his loving care and enjoying his grace, we also need to recognize and acknowledge God's government in the church life. I'm reminded of a verse this week, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This verse was given in the context of receiving believers. And therefore, the kingdom mentioned here is synonymous to the church. In the context, the church equals the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness here refers to God's government or God's righteous dealing. So the church is a matter of grace and life, but the kingdom is a matter of exercise and discipline. So this is something we need to pay attention to in practicing the church life. Well, what kind of government does God have among his people? From the record in Deuteronomy, we see that it's not a that God rule his people. He is the ultimate authority, but also through some human agents with priests, kings, and elders among God's people. This kind of government is not a government of dictatorship, nor is it a democracy where people come together to vote for certain matters. It's not a government by the people's opinion. But we can say that the government among God's people that we see in the book of Deuteronomy is a theocracy. It's a ruling by God according to what he is. God is righteous, he is holy, he's loving, and he's true. Psalm 89:14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before your face." So God is righteous, God is holy, and he rules. He expects his people to be just like him, according to who he is. And also, God speaking among his people is according to his constant speaking, as written in the law. Again, the law is a portrait of who God is. When God gave the law to his people through Moses, that law, that Ten Commandments, that 10 words, show us what kind of God he is. And he rules, he governs among his people so that they are an expression of who he is. Also, God rules according to his instant speaking through the breastplate of the high priest by means of the Urim and the Thummim. When there are cases that need to be determined, the priest will go before God, and through the use of the Urim and Thummim on the breastplate of the high priest, every matter is determined. They can get the judgment or answer from God. Well, that's what we see in the Old Testament. What do we see in the New Testament? In the New Testament, God's rule is still based on who he is. But simply speaking, God's rule is based on the Bible, which is the Word of God, and according to the Holy Spirit within us. And also, from this message, we see that there are several aspects of the church life under the government of God. We see in the book of Deuteronomy pictures in our worship in the place of God's choice. So in our practice of the church life, we should strive to keep the oneness. We should not have our own choice in our worship to God. We need to go to the place of God's choice. And God's choice today is the oneness of the body of Christ. We have no right to meet according to our preference. We must meet on the ground of oneness. And we also see that we have to care for the need of the members of his body, especially those who serve him. And typified by the Levites in the Old Testament, we need to care for the need of all the members of the body of Christ. We also need to take care of the giving to the poor, and also in dealing with one another in a fair, righteous, and just way. In Deuteronomy 25, 13 to 15, says that you shall not have in your bag differing weights, one heavy and one light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, one large and one small. A full and righteous weight you shall have, and a full and righteous measure you shall have, in order that your days may be extended upon the land which Jehovah God is giving you. So in relating to others, we should be righteous and fair. And another matter is a prohibition in sowing two kinds of seeds. We should not have different teachings. We should abide in the apostles' teaching, which is the teaching of God's economy. And then lastly, only by faith can we live the church life under the government of God. I was quite touched with this portion from Deuteronomy 25 concerning the different weights and the different measures. Now, in the church life, as we're dealing with people, with one another, we should just have one scale. It's easy to judge others and excuse ourselves. Matthew 7:1 says, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." I'm touched this week that we should not judge one another, and also we should not be offended when we feel maybe someone is judging us. I think especially for the younger ones, when the older one speaks a word to you, it may be out of their loving care. Sometimes that word may feel a little bit heavy, but let's not be offended. Of course, on our side, we should not judge others, but as we're receiving exhortation from the other believers, let's also not be offended. That our days may be extended upon the land which Jehovah our God is giving us. This, of course, may apply to our physical life, but this week in applying it spiritually, you know, this phrase that upon the land which Jehovah your God is giving you, this typifies the wonderful Christ that we're enjoying in the church life. So if we're all the time judging others, pointing our fingers at others, or we're being offended because we think others are pointing their fingers at us, we may be cut off. We're in the danger of being cut off from enjoyment of Christ in the church life. So this week I kind of really enjoyed this phrase, that let our days be extended upon the land which Jehovah our God is giving us. Let's enjoy Christ in the church life under the government of God. Praise the Lord. So lastly, I want to read the stanza of hymn 947. O Lord, give us grace for thy kingdom to live, to be trained that thou may be the reward for us to give. Make the kingdom's reality our exercise, that its manifestation may be our great prize. So saints, let's go on to enjoy the Lord under his government. If we have the exercise of the kingdom today in its reality, then the kingdom age will be a prize to us in its manifestation. And we believe that day is not too far ahead. So that's exercise to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy the church life under the government of God.